founded in 1991 by patients, the FSH Society is the largest grassroots network of FSHD patients, their families, and research activists. The FSH Society offers a community of support, news, and information for the millions of men, women, and children affected by FSHD worldwide. This is FSH Society Radio. Welcome, welcome one and all to the FSH Society Radio Show. I'm your host, Tim Hollenbach. Thanks for being here on another month's episode. This is the, what month are we in? June. This is the June episode, and I'm sure glad you all can be here to sit down and relax maybe a little bit or ease back and listen to a great featured guest we have in store for today, which is Curtis Calder. He is the co-founder of AnsonCalder.com, and you can go and check that out right now. www.AnsonCalder.com. He has fine design bags, wallets, high-end leather products. You got to see it to believe it, the quality of these goods. And he has a FSH Society or FSH Society story to go along with the great work he's doing with Anson Calder. So we want to bring him in and share his story. So he's the featured guest this evening. I'm happy to have him on. He'll be on about 12 past the hour. Also today, we'll be having a new guest on later for news and notes. We'll be having Beth Johnson of the FSH Society. She's going to come on and share a little bit of news and notes and what's happening all around the FSH Society world and beyond. But why don't we start off, too? We gotta get you that contact information. You want to talk to us or to me here on air, you can do that. My number here is 949-270-5953. If you want to, I believe you got to hit 1 if you want to be answered onto the switchboard and you have a question you want to give me. I'm going to rattle off the last 4 digits of your phone number if it comes up so you know that I have you live on air. You just go ahead and ask away the questions. If they're for me or if a story that you want to share about yourself, we have time to do that here before our featured guest is on, so feel free to dial us up there. If you're a little shy and you don't want to do it that way, there's a couple other ways. There's the chat room that's up there at Blog Talk Radio. You can go ahead and chime in there. Also, you can message me directly right now during the show via email at fshradiohost@gmail.com. Just go ahead and do that. You can follow the show at fshsociety.org, at fshsociety on Twitter, and, of course, Facebook, all linked through the great website, FSH Society. So all those things, we always have to touch base on that. We got to go through the gambit of how can you get in touch with me or the show. I have a big special project that I've been really trying to gear up, load up, get going, and I need your help. I had a call to arms, so to speak, at the Las Vegas, if you were all there, at the Vegas FSHD Connection Conference, and there was a video that was played of me asking, one was talking about the show, but the other thing was asking for you guys to contribute a little bit into this project I'm working on. And the project is basically this. The project is this. It's StoryCorps. I don't know if you've ever seen that or heard that, I should say, on Blog Talk Radio, but it's our version of it, sharing your stories, and we're going to put those stories together. We either use them for some clips on the show here, maybe a little bit of an episode. I guess it all depends how it all comes together, how much input I get. I've already got several people that are inquiring about having their story recorded and sharing it with us, and then I can play that on air on an upcoming show. So that's something I'm really excited to do. And to me, that's kind of what this whole thing has always been about. I think almost every monologue section of the show, segment of the show, I talk about a little bit of this or that, but it always seems to funnel back to community. And this is supposed to be a community that we're developing through this on-air FSH Society radio show / podcast. It's not just about the great featured guests we've had on or me sharing my story or me just loving the hobby that I have here and that I can give it to you guys at this platform and enjoy myself, but also connect everybody. It is about that. It's about all the connections. It's all the connections that we can make. I call it like a support group, you know, on the web, sit in the comfort of your homes. Maybe you're listening even through your cell phone, or maybe you're listening through your computer or your device, and you want to chime in, you know, the chat room or the emails, or you want to call me up right here on the show right now. You can do that, and I'd love to have you on here and share your story. And that's kind of then stems off to what the StoryCorps project is about. It's about you sharing your stories of FSH, maybe in a way that it touches others because it's a common story for them or uncommon to them, where it gives them inspiration to work through what they're dealing with. And to kind of be an inspiration for others is really what the goal is. I was not at the FSH D-Connect conference brought to you by the FSH Society in Vegas. I wish I could have been there. You know, sometimes life gets in the way of certain things, as I'll sometimes say. But the bottom line is, I was in there, and I was there in spirit, and I was glad I could give a video. That video is now available on YouTube through FSH Society's YouTube page, and they posted it on there. And you can take a listen to that. It explains a little bit more about the StoryCorps project, a little bit about this radio show. If this is the first time you've been listening to the show, welcome. Thanks for being here. I hope you come back each month. You can follow the show, too, on Blog Talk Radio. We have like 9 followers at this point. Let's keep growing that, growing the community. Share this on Facebook. You know, take that link that you found the show on and spread it like wildfire through the Facebook, Twitter, and social media. I really want more people to know that they can come to this show. And I'd love to watch it grow. I'd love the demand of this show to just completely influx, where people are looking for it more often. If it's once a week, you know, twice a month, whatever, I'll be here for you. Let's grow it. This is about you guys. If you want more of it, let's bring you more of it. So tonight's featured guest, though, I'm really excited to bring him on, because I'm not sure, back, I don't know, maybe it was a year ago, how I stumbled on Anson Calder. It probably was through the FSH Society webpage, and it was this cool orange, I call it a front pocket wallet, but it's like a minimalist wallet. The thing is, or I don't know if this one in particular, we'll ask Curtis, but they have a wallet that is 1/8 of an inch thick and carries everything basically you need, believe it or not, the craftsmanship, right? But this orange wallet is similar in that regard, and I have a front pocket wallet similar, but it's not nearly the quality. And I'd love to buy one of these, because orange is my favorite color, has been before this, you know, but still love it. And it's bold and it's beautiful, and I'm thinking about getting one. And come to find out that they have a link, you know, that there's donations that go to the FSH Society, and they call that orange wallet the FSH wallet, or FSH Society wallet. So go check that out. Pre our guest arriving, you can take a look at his website for his business at AnsonCalder.com. It's awesome stuff. Awesome, awesome leather goods. It's really cool. I'm really big on like organization. I'm also a baseball coach right now, so I have like this coach bag that I have like everything I would possibly need for game days and practices, right? So I'm really big on that. I got a different kind of backpack, which isn't that great for work. So I've been kind of eyeballing some of his products on AnsonCalder.com. Very innovative design. So I implore you to check it out. And he has a great FSH story that he's going to talk to us about, kind of how FSH, it seems or appears, and I don't want to spoil too much here, you know, leave you hanging after the break, right? That FSH seemed to kind of push him in the direction of growing that business. So I'm really curious to see how all that has come about for him. And to me, I find that inspirational, that someone's able to take something that they absolutely love and then say, I'm going to do this for a living, and then add, of course, his passion for design, but his also passion to help, it seems, the FSH Society and to grow awareness. And to join all those worlds together like that, to me, is just, I don't want to say I'm envious, that's not good, but I admire him for it. And I'm really excited to have him share a story and come on. So it's going to be good stuff tonight. If you want to get in touch with me, you can do that. FSHradiohost@gmail.com is my direct email. You can do that right now. I will check it throughout the show. This way, too, if you have any questions for our featured guests, you can do it that way. The chat room is open right now. No one's in that room right now, so why don't you come on in. You can stay anonymous in there. We have one caller listening through right now through Blog Talk Radio's switchboard. And if you want to come on that switchboard and listen to the show, you can do it that way. Or You can also dial us up. I believe you just press 1, telling me you're ready to talk to me or a featured guest with maybe a question. And that number to do that is 949-270-5953. Quick plug for next week's show. We're going to have Beth Johnston, who's also will be on tonight doing news and notes to the FSH Society, and Lee Reynolds. They're going to have this topic we're all talking about right now, big time, and that's the chapter programs that are going on through the FSH Society and the involvement, how you can get involved and what's happening there and the changes and the growth of that project. So they're going to come on next month, and that's July 25th, I believe, and that'll be our next show. So look sharp for that, and follow the show on Blog Talk Radio so you won't miss an episode. And all the past episodes are on there as well. So why don't we take our first break, and we come back, we'll get ourselves ready as we anticipate the dialing in of Curtis Calder of EnsignCalder.com. You're listening to the FSH Society Radio Show. You're listening to FSH Society Radio. Hey everyone, this is Tim, host of FSH Society Radio. And get this, in 2014, a Dutch team reported that aerobic exercise training and cognitive behavioral therapy decreased fatigue and improved the quality of life significantly for FSHD patients. This suggests a marked impact in slowing the degeneration of affected muscles. So I don't want to hear any excuses. You can get out there, get active, start exercising, and let's start fighting this thing. Hi, this is Tim again, and have you been recently diagnosed with FSHD and kind of trying to search for answers? I mean, there's so many questions. Where do you go? Well, go to fshsociety.org. Join the FSH Society. Get educated, because knowledge is power. Get active. Connect with local members. Volunteer for research and donate, because without you, we can't fight this. Go to fshsociety.org. Hey, welcome back to the show, FSH Society Radio Show. Thanks for joining us here on the June episode, where our featured guest will be Curtis Calder of EnsignCalder.com. Go ahead and visit that as we are just about ready to bring him on as he's dialing into the switchboard here. But I want to share those contact info for you. If you want to send your questions our way, you can use the chat room through Blog Talk Radio or email me at fshradiohost@gmail.com. We'll get you right to me. And we'll get those questions on air to our guests, I promise. That's what I'm about. It's a show about we, not about me, right? So why don't we introduce our featured guest for this episode. He is Curtis Calder. He's the co-founder of EnsignCalder.com, and he has a fantastic, sounds like inspirational story to share with us. We welcome him now. Hello, Curtis. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Tim?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for being here. I'm excited to have you on, I'll tell you that, because the more I started looking into your story and looking into your company, I like it. I like it a lot, and I think it has a lot to offer our listeners. And what I love to do with our guests when they come in is kind of give our listeners a little bit of background about yourself. You know, who is this guy? You know, because I know some people are going, okay, Curtis Calder, who is this guy? And why am I listening to this? So I would love to have you just kind of share a little bit about yourself for starters.
Yeah, that sounds good, and I appreciate you having me on the show. I will give a disclaimer to start out. I am a very passionate person, and so I can, as a good friend has told me, I am very thorough in my details and storytelling. So I'll try and be concise, understanding this is a radio show. But yeah, so a little bit about myself, and we'll get to it a little bit later on. But I have FSH. I was diagnosed about 5 years ago, and we'll talk a little bit about that later. But outside of that, I studied finance at Brigham Young University, went into banking, and worked first underwriting credit, right, as the world is coming to an end, specifically from credit and credit underwriting, which was a great opportunity, something I really loved. Then working in banking, I ended up going to Switzerland and ultimately to New York, which definitely impacted the a business my wife and I founded, which is obviously Anson Calder. And we'll get to that a little bit later, but then worked it as an investment strategist, and something I absolutely loved and really enjoyed. And honestly, I didn't think I'd find something where I'd be happier until, you know, I stumbled into Anson Calder, which we'll get to in a bit. And outside of that, I have four little kids that I absolutely love, and a wonderful wife who is the only way I think I have such a positive attitude, and I'm working through having FSH and everything else in life. So yeah, it's a little bit about me.
So where did you grow up? Where do you hail from, as they say?
Originally from a ski town in Utah. So I grew up skiing, okay, and then crossed over to the dark side. But yeah, originally from Utah, but have lived in South America and Europe, and most recently the last 6 years in New York, before actually moving back out to Utah and in a need to hire more staff and build out our company.
So 5 years ago, you say you got the diagnosis, the notice, hey, okay, you have FSHD. What was that moment like for you? We've asked that question for a lot of guests that have FSHD that have been on the show. I've shared my story as well of that feeling, because I was only diagnosed about a year and a half ago. So what was that moment for you?
You know, for me, it actually was, I'm trying to think of the right word to use, but it was a good thing, because for once, I actually had an answer to what was going on. I mean, I had probably asked 8 to 10 doctors over, you know, 10, 15 years, the random question of, I don't seem to have any lower pectoral muscles. And nobody could ever answer. And I usually was just asking, hey, what kind of doctor would I talk to? I don't know why. I'm not saying, you know, I don't know what's going on, but I'm just curious why, you know, I'm really active and all my muscles get bigger as I exercise, but I don't feel sore in my, you know, pectoral muscles. And so when I was diagnosed, to be perfectly honest, when I was, you know, my physiatrist, who I absolutely love, Dr. DePorto out of Manhattan, he, you know, I think was that, you know, said, look, I'm going to have you get tested for something really rare. Don't read into it. I just want to check it off the list. And then, you know, we can move on to figure out, you know, what's going on. And I think he knew at the time that I had FSH, that everything seemed to point in that direction, but, you know, maybe didn't want to alarm me. And my wife happens to be a nurse. And I called her as I left the appointment, where he said, you know, I'm going to have you meet with a neurologist and be tested. And I called her on my way back into the office and just said, yeah, he wants me to get tested for something rare, you know, just to check it off the list. And then we move on. It's like FHS or something like that. And it was actually my wife who responded and said, do you mean FSH? And I said, oh, yeah, probably that. And she said, well, that's what your grandfather has, which up until that point, it had never crossed my mind that what I was dealing with had anything to do with what my grandfather has, because, you know, he's been in a wheelchair almost my entire life. He's, you know, at this point in time, right, he's lived a long life. He's in his 90s, but he has a hard time feeding himself and stuff. So again, that's a little bit of a long answer, but, you know, it was somewhat refreshing to at least understand, oh, okay, there's a reason why it's really hard for me to raise my hands, or if I hold my hands above my head, you know, my pinky starts going numb after a matter of seconds. So, you know, it gave me some hope of, okay, I understand what it is. But, you know, at the same time, with, you know, depending on the day and the week and physically how I'm doing it, at times it can be very daunting. And, You know, I am like many others with FSH. I don't like to talk about it a lot, but there are times when it's really tough when I think about, you know, what it's going to be like when my kids get bigger, right? I've my grandfather's never been able to stand on his own in my life, and I, you know, having four little kids and a family, it is hard to think about the future and what it means. So I try and just enjoy where I'm at now and the physical abilities I still have.
Did you see then a big digression or, you know, decline over then the last 5 years since you've been diagnosed, or has it kind of plateaued to some degree?
So the first year after my diagnosis, maybe the first 6 months after my diagnosis, no, but the 6 to 12 months following that, you know, it had been getting worse for years. That's what led me to the doctor, and ultimately he sent me to the neurologist. But I would say it's probably, you know, it kind of continued its steady decline for maybe another 6 months, but it, you know, then really kind of took a turn and got a lot worse and a lot more pain. And, you know, to be perfectly honest, I you know, my wife and I talk about this, you know, frequently.
Mm-hmm.
In some ways, I don't know, physical therapy and doing too much, you know, I was overexerting myself and it made it harder and worse. I do believe being active is a very positive thing. You know, I think it's an essential thing to life. So I continue to try to be active, but, you know, sometimes I have the mentality, which you'll see a little bit in how my wife and I started this business and how we built it to where it is today, that, you know, I'm not going to dip my toe in the water. If I'm going to go after it, I'm going to, you know, jump in head first and really go after it. And so I think in some ways I may have tried to do that, where it's like, all right, well, let's do physical therapy, let's do aquatic therapy, let's do all of these things. And I think in some ways I did so much that it was a lot harder on me. But then again, right now, before I started physical therapy, it was getting worse as well.
Yeah, I think you're right. It has something to do with trying to keep a balance where you don't want to do too much, where you're hurting yourself or making yourself overly sore, kind of knocks you down a little bit. But at the same time, you're right, you don't want to sit on the couch and do absolutely nothing, because that's not good for you either, or for anybody for that matter. But I know what you mean about the all-in, you know, attitude as well. Maybe not to the extreme you've done it with starting an awesome company. I've not done that, but I can say that, when you realize probably, hey, whatever this is, I'm going to attack it. I'm all in against whatever you're going to name this thing. And that's where I was too, about a year and a half ago, and thought, okay, let's just kick this thing in the teeth then. Right. Let's just do what we got to do. And I kind of made it in my mind, like a separate entity, that it is, this thing is, it's on me, it's in me, whatever, but I have to battle it. I don't know, for whatever reason, that's my coping mechanism. Go ahead, please.
Let me maybe just pause you there. I will say, you know, on a positive note, that, you know, for the couple years leading up to my diagnosis, it definitely was getting worse. And like I said, at about 6 months after my diagnosis, you know, for the next 6 to 9 months, it really declined even faster. But since then, right, so I'd say maybe the last two years, I've been pretty steady. It hasn't necessarily declined. Obviously, I haven't gotten better, but in some ways, right, I manage my pain a lot better. I physically do a little bit better job of balancing. You know, the worst thing I could have done, I think, was to go and start a company, a legitimate startup from scratch, because of, you know, the toll and the time and travel and stuff like that. But I've at least tried to, you know, found a way to find a little bit better balance, to where the last couple of years, I'm actually a lot better physically than I was the years before that. Not that I'm physically any better, but finding ways to manage them, I deal with it a little bit better. And so, you know, that has been, you know, it's the only way I could still be, you know, running the business, is because I've, you know, fortunately been able to moderate that a little bit.
So you were this banking person, big career, you loved it. You said you loved doing that kind of work. And what was then the inspiration for you to take, maybe it was leave that job, however you want to phrase it, and go from that, and then start this?
Yeah, I always joke that it's a perfect segue, right? I was an investment strategist covering Latin America and, you know, fixed income, and then decided to start a leather goods business. So, you know, the funny thing is, in the beginning, there was never any intention or even consideration of starting a business. It was simply things had gotten so bad physically that my doctor had been trying to convince me for a while to take a medical leave of absence, step away from work, and really, you know, focus on what I need to do to get myself in a better situation physically and then go back to work. And, you know, I really enjoyed what I did. You know, I'd been, you know, working as an analyst for years and, you know, and then as an associate. And I, you know, it's not that easy to just step away and then get back into it. And so I was very hesitant. And he finally convinced me, look, you know, you don't want to end up in a wheelchair in a matter of years, right? Ideally, it's decades or even longer or never, right? Which obviously I'm very grateful to the FSH Society and what they're doing to try and help, you know, that type of situation. But ultimately, he convinces me to go on a medical leave of absence. So I'm going to physical therapy and doing, you know, everything I can to try and, you know, rest and have balance and do all of these things. You know, I'm bored to tears. I loved what I was doing in banking. I love having, you know, more time with my wife and two kids at the time. But, you know, my doctor then with time over, I want to say after the first, you know, few weeks or month, he said, all right, let's now try and acclimate. Let's go back to work part-time. Let's, you know, kind of move from there. But ultimately, you know, it didn't make sense for the bank I was working for and ended up not happening. And so my doctor said, look, why don't you find something to do with your hands? I want you to use your arms. You know, I mostly affected my rhomboid muscle. Has no strength whatsoever. And so he said, find a way to use your arms and shoulders, but not sitting at a computer, right? Which is what I was doing for, you know, 15, 20 hours a day in banking. Don't sit at a computer, find something else to do. And oddly enough, right. I'd been looking for a wallet. I could never really find what I wanted. I had a wallet I loved that I found in some, you know, little hole in the wall in Japan. And then years later, I found a wallet in Venice, which was a little bit better, but didn't quite have the same things. But I thought, oh, I'll try this out for a while, use that for a couple of years. And I randomly, you know, months before I had got on this leave, had made this wallet out of paper and thought, you know what, my wife knows how to sew. She's got a sewing machine. Maybe I'll just, you know, I searched all over New York and thought if New York doesn't have it, you know, maybe it's not even out there. And I made kind of this hybrid of the two, but then I wanted better functionality. And again, this is really where I'm going to get carried away in details and a long-winded story. But I ended up designing this wallet out of paper. I had never designed something before.
Wow.
Never done, honestly, anything creative, I think, since elementary school. And I don't know how I came up with this idea, but, you know, made it out of paper. And then, you know, I'm, you know, now months later, my doctor says, you got to find something to do. And I don't know what to do. I start, I don't know, drawing or sketching. You know, I'm in this tiny little apartment. We're actually living on Wall Street at the time. And I'm trying to find different things to do. And I thought, you know what, maybe I'll make that wallet, you know? And so my wife and I were like, hey, this could be fun. This, you know, maybe this becomes a hobby. And we start dinking around. We go to the garment district. We buy some leather. Even though she's telling me, you know, this sewing machine's not made for leather. I was like, well, we'll buy some thin leather, right, and get some lambskin and stuff, which is the worst thing you can do because it stretches and it's really hard to stitch. Anyways, we kind of enjoyed that, and, you know, it kind of just snowballed from there. And next thing you know, we've got friends and family saying, oh, that wallet's amazing. I would buy that from you. And I think a big tipping point, my wife and I have a friend who's a designer for Tommy Hilfiger. She was. She's now left and started her own business. But she worked for Tommy Hilfiger in men's accessories and said, Kurt, we could sell the crap out of that wallet. You have got to do something with it. I would use that, you know. And she said, as a female, that's amazing for, you know, I can throw it in my purse or, you know, if I'm going out on the town, right? You've got these tiny pockets and stuff. And so I think some combination, my wife and I have tried to look back and say, you know, when did we actually make that decision to do more with it? But in doing all of this, right, my wife and I are messing around and buying materials, and I started designing bags and other cases, and, you know, she's doing a lot of the stitching and making the bags, and we're, you know, kind of doing both of it, and it's getting me to use my arms. And to be honest, I literally had an app on my phone where every day when I would start doing something, I'd turn on a timer, and then it'd go off and tell me to go back and rest, and then I'd do it again, and it was monotonous, and I hated it because, you know, I've got, I don't know, a couple hours a day and not that much, and trying to, you know, go up from there. But, you know, I had I not been on this leave of absence, I can't see how I ever would have considered leaving, you know, what was a very fruitful and successful career in banking to try something like this. But because of the leave of absence, because of FSH, I happened to be in a situation where I couldn't go back to work, and I needed to do something to, you know, assimilate being at work. And because of the time that passed, I just kept working on this. And then it was, you know, maybe this would be a fun hobby too. Hey, maybe we actually start doing this on the side, and this becomes a side income to what I'm doing in banking, and that might, you know, be kind of fun. To the point where, you know, I got to where, all right, I'm talking to my doctor, and he says, okay, you know, maybe we go back to work now. And I said, all right. And, you know, my wife and I had to sit down and say, you know what? And I am a lot, you know, she's much more risk averse than I am. And
okay,
yet I thought,
yeah,
I think it'd be crazy for me to leave this and just go back into banking.
Wow.
I think we've really got something here. And yeah, that's kind of how Anson Calder got started.
So you took this hobby somewhat, you turned it into a company,
yeah,
and it wasn't anything like out of a, well, I guess there's a little bit of passion in it, right? I mean, it sounds like to me though, it's more about, I mean, you mentioned your wife several times during the story. I mean, you guys must be an incredible team. Yeah. You know, I mean, most husbands and wives are, but to build a company together, yeah, that's a little more, you know, and the fact that it sounded like there was a lot of encouragement by both of you, not a lot of doubt there, you know, of should we do this, should we not? That is an awesome partner to have, and including with your FSH, to have someone of that spirit with you. I mean, that's just fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. My wife is a saint. She is, and I've told so many people that. That there is no way the business would be anywhere without her, right? She's been, you know, it really was the two of us and finding other people and
right,
doing other things and kind of building it. But, you know, we're also continuing to have kids and have four kids now.
Right.
And so we've tried to bring on other people to help take over a lot of the stuff that she does. But, I mean, a day doesn't go by where she is not, you know, involved in the company and what we're doing. But, yeah, it's she's been the most amazing support to make all of this happen. And like I said, it wasn't even a plan to start a business. And then it was, you know, maybe we do this and maybe we do that. And she's been so supportive and is definitely, you know, believes in me. And I will tell you, it is an absolute roller coaster. It's ups and downs, and it has been exhausting and daunting. And, you know, it has been a ride, but, you know, she, yes. So to answer your question, yeah, I do think we are a great team. I think she is, you know, the pivotal piece in that team, but it's been an amazing experience for us.
So the sales have grown, I assume, you know, and you had, you know, hints of that growth, which is why you kind of said, we're going to do this and we're not looking back. And, so what kind of growth have you had over the last, you know, since you started till now?
So it's a good question. So in the beginning, like I said, we thought, you know what, let's just create a website. And Allison is my wife. She's the one who created the website, right? And we went back and forth on design a little bit, but in terms of setting it up, the functionality, the customizations and changing it, right? She's doing the same thing, learning things she had no experience in, but just figuring it out and finding a way. And in the beginning, we, you know, reached out, emailed friends and family, said, hey, you know, we're making these wallets. This is what it is. And so, you know, we started out by, you know, I don't know, selling dozens of wallets to friends and family. We, you know, looked into you know, doing something on Kickstarter, which we'd heard about, but, you know, I didn't want to make a wallet that was going to be cheap and just fall apart. And so I have, you know, a lot of people look at our price and say, oh, wow, that $125 is a lot for a wallet. But, you know, my struggle in trying to do this, and, you know, my wife, she'll laugh at this, because when we started to really look at manufacturing, she said, Kurt, I know you love nice things, but you don't need to use the best leather and the best manufacturer. And I said, right, but I don't want to make something that I'm not going to love. And, you know, some of this comes from my dad. He bought a John Deere lawnmower when I was a teenager, and it was, you know, I don't know, 5-10 times more than your other lawnmower. But, you know, it really ingrained in me, look, you build something to last and you'll love it, right? And it's an investment. You end up using it forever. And so, right, you know, those types of things, living in Switzerland and efficiency, and obviously New York and the need to be efficient there, very much affected, you know, what we were doing. And so, It brought the product to be at a price point that's a lot more than I wanted it to be. But I thought, you know what, this is something people will use every single day. They'll absolutely love it. And, you know, it's just a risk that we're going to take, even though we're, you know, priced above a lot of, you know, what I would have considered competitors. But when you look at our quality and craftsmanship and the materials, we're actually priced at, you know, a fraction of our true competitors, right? Considering the leather we use and
right,
our, you know, the few competitors out there that use it.
To talk
about growth, it's been exponential, right? You know, giving you actual percentages, it's, you know, very big, meaning, yes, we're still a startup. Yes, there's a lot of work, and I don't have enough staff. And I brought on a partner a few months, which has been, you know, hugely helpful, and he's dove in. We've got a couple other full-time employees that are also jumping in and doing it. So it continues to grow. And to be honest, we had not really advertised until a couple months ago. So the first two and a half years of
That's
growth
fantastic.
Was practically, you know, we did use Kickstarter to get the word out, but it's repeat business. It's word of mouth. So we have, you know, amazing customers. We're really grateful for how they're spreading the word and the fact that they love the product so much. And we'll, you know, even see clusters. We'll get an order from some tiny town in Massachusetts, and a couple months later, we got 5 more orders from that same town that I had never heard of before. So clearly they were telling somebody else about it. But growth has been good. Growth has been good.
So you mentioned the customers, and it sounds like instantly it's word of mouth within the customers, and they tell their friends. It's noticeable, obviously, that they have a – because you do – I mean, and I only have seen – I've not seen one in my hand. I've seen it on the web, but you can definitely tell even off of those photos, pictures, the quality is top scale. This is not your, you know, Walgreens-ish, you know, I just need a wallet with Velcro. No, this is like really nice quality materials you guys are using. So you are getting a high-end, like almost lifelong
that.
Type material. Absolutely. Now, when your customers, though, do you have any, you know, I guess, impact stories that you've heard from your customers about it directly? Have they shared their experiences with your product? I mean, because for me, I mean, I've been married for a while, but like I even see like this could even be kind of a cool groomsmen gifts. And, you know, those kind of things as well. So it's not just for yourself. I mean, I can see this being a good gift-giving type thing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's been a lot of fun and really interesting, right? We've got customers that will, you know, follow up and you know, leave reviews. And I will leave that plug for everybody out there. Reviews do so much to impact the business, right? When I go to buy stuff, I will look at what other people say, and I don't want to see an advertisement because, right, of course you're trying to convince me to buy something. But, no, there have been a lot of positive things. So we've got, you know, customers that have loved it and then will, you know, come back and buy multiple more with different monograms. So we know they're giving it away as gifts, and we've, you know, tried to, you know, prioritize our customer service and reached out to customers and thanked them. And that's got to be one of the most gratifying things of what we've done in building the business, is having people reach out and say, this is so much better than any other wallet I've had, or I love it so much, and giving it as gifts to other people. You know, we had a guy, I want to say a month ago, reached out and said, I absolutely love your wallet. I want to give it to my entire wedding party. But I'm about to get married, and so money's really tight, but I love it so much. is there anything you could do, right? And we don't really do discounts and sales and stuff like that, but, you know, he's a good loyal customer. And I said, you know, we can work something out, right? So it wasn't a big discount, but tried to do something to say, yeah, we appreciate
sure.
it. And then, you know, sent him a little wedding gift and stuff. But, yeah, a lot
awesome.
Of really fun things. My wife and I were actually in Oakland this last weekend, in San Francisco, and we got an order from Oakland. And my wife noticed it went to a restaurant. So just for fun, we went by the restaurant.
Yeah.
Allison was like, this is kind of awkward.
You guys are stalkers.
Right. Yeah. And so we go into the restaurant and I just said, I know this is a little odd, but we just want to come by your restaurant. We're in town. You ordered a wallet from us last week. And it was amazing. The guy pulled it out of his wallet and said, oh, my gosh, I love this wallet so much. It's so great. My wife has actually been begging to get one because she knows how much I love it. And it's really cool to kind of see that response. And that is absolutely what has allowed the business to grow as quickly as it has to make it so that, you know, we can, you know, continue to grow the business and try and innovate. We have, you know, more product, some very exciting product that will be coming out soon. But, you know, there's a lot to do as a business and bringing in the funding required to manufacture and, you know, meeting economies of scale and stuff like that. So it's been a lot of fun. And yeah, our customers are definitely what help us, you know, become who we are.
Yeah, loyalty is huge, especially with what you're trying to do. And it sounds like you are achieving that. So that's awesome. Now, where's the tie-in then when the FSH Society, you know, it ties into all of this? Because I know you have a page of giving back on your website. Can you tell us a little bit about all that?
Yeah, sure. So, again, I, as I've mentioned before, and as going to, you know, different FSH Society events, and my wife and I started a Salt Lake City chapter, a Rocky Mountain chapter, you know, and I know we've got one in Denver or whatever area this is. I think Allison and June and Beth are working that out. But in talking about it, I don't like talking about it. I don't like talking about my disease. I like to just put it in a box and ignore it and
right.
not talk about it, you know, and I'll be honest, my wife is usually the one who kind of drags me to these events, and I want to be supportive, but I just don't want to talk about it. I don't want a pity party.
Right.
I, you know,
right.
all that stuff. And, but you know, when I was diagnosed, right. And my wife immediately being the nurse that she is, the caring, loving person that she is, immediately started researching, looking into it, right? So by the time we went to the neurologist, she said, I'm pretty sure you have it. Like, obviously, we'll see what the neurologist says, but everything I'm reading makes sense. You know, it's exactly what you're dealing with, all of these different things. So she started, she joined the FSH Society, started going and meeting with some other people in the FSH Society to put together, you know, fundraisers or you know, letters for donations or whatever. So she actually got quite involved, you know, and this is before we're, you know, the business is even an idea yet, let alone a hobby. And so when we decided to start the business, right, a big driver of all of our products is about efficiency and functionality, right? And the biggest issue I had with minimalist wallets is you can't pull out the middle card of a wallet. You have to empty the entire wallet, you know, to try and
yes.
get to the middle card, so you're fumbling and dropping your stuff. So, you know, the inspiration for making this wallet and really what's kind of driven the business was this push slot. And, you know, my grandfather, mm-hmm. who, as I said before, has been in a wheelchair practically my entire life, and he's got dexterity issues, and, you know, he struggles to, you know, feed himself or to shake your hand or really to do much of anything. And shortly after we manufactured our first wallets, we were visiting. So we're still living in New York at the time, visiting my grandfather here in Utah. And he, you know, being a loving, you know, grandfather, had purchased wallets, you know, in the beginning. And it was very gratifying to see that even in his physical state, he could get push cards out of the wallet. Right. That's not easy for anybody. Right.
right?
Just because the way wallets
right.
are, and they're, you know, how you have to pinch them to get them out. So it really was kind of like a combination of different things. My wife had already been donating time. We had met June. You know, Allison wanted to do everything she could to help, and June was so great, and hearing about the society is so great. So then we started the business. You know, there are a lot of businesses that we love, and we love that it's, you know, small business, you know, whether it's a mom and pop or they have a really good cause. I love buying stuff from them. One, because it's usually very well thought out, designed or produced product, right? It's quality. But two, the cause that they, you know, give or support means a lot. And, you know, I'm sure it was Allison's idea, because, you know, even today, and June knows this, June Kinoshita and Beth, and, you know, I feel like it's so self-serving, right? For me to say, oh yeah, we donate portion of our, you know, profits or proceeds to the FSH Society, who ultimately will help improve, you know, what people with the disease are dealing with. Well, that's me. So it doesn't feel like much of a charity, but, you know, fortunately, you know, I have my wife and my business partner's a big proponent of it as well. And that's really kind of how it started. And so, yes, I go to the events, we donate product to auctions, you know, we donate a portion of our proceeds, you know, and as we grow, right. The FSH Society is an amazing charitable organization, right? The members of it, especially, you know, the board, and I know multiple board members just because of our involvement, and, you know, they're donating their time. It's, you know, they're putting every penny into research and everything they can, you know, and, oh, June will laugh and want to correct me, but, right, they've got this certain rating. I think it's 4 stars that only like 2% have, but knowing them, you know, it's easy to donate to that cause, and I think my only hesitation to do it is that it's self-serving, but that's kind of how it happened and how it kind of came together, and hopefully, you know, this will help others have, you know, the resources or the information or getting the awareness out there so that we really can make some progress, and you know, yes, I'm grateful that it will benefit me, but, you know, I've met a lot of people with FSH, and especially going to these events and participating, there are a lot of people that are in a lot worse position than I am.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, it's also really hard to see people that are in these positions or situations that don't have the resources they need. Right. Or,
right.
You know,
right.
I just met someone with FSH at the event we had here in Salt Lake City. And, you know, he's had to retire young because he physically can't do the job, which just doesn't seem right. And his insurance won't cover certain things. And, you know, that's a big driver of hoping that we can help, you know, add awareness, like you mentioned in the intro, right? FSHD Orange is actually the name of that color. And, you know, we've got stuff on our website and we try and send stuff out. And hopefully, you know, with all that, the FSH Society is doing, and hopefully, you know, we can help support that and increase funding to get the word out and really help people in need.
Well, considering that you mentioned that you have a hard time talking about it and that you're not, that seems like it makes you feel uncomfortable, which I can somewhat relate to. You're right. I don't like having a spotlight shined on me either, or woe is me. Right. So I do appreciate you coming on today, you know, to do this, to share this information, to share your story, because there is someone listening that really needs to hear it, to know what you're doing with your life, if they're hesitant, if they're unsure, and then you have just proven, yeah, okay, I was diagnosed with this, but now I'm doing this. Yeah, you know, I'm doing what I want. I'm doing a passion, and I'm doing something with it. So, yeah, you know, I'll argue with you with the FSH Society link that you have, that it's self-serving. It's not. You're serving all of us. And to me, I appreciate that. What you're doing a great job. And it's awesome. That's just the most simple word to use for it. It's very, very inspirational. And I think you are a great fit to have on here today. Where can people learn more about you or your company? Is the best spot the website?
I appreciate that. Yeah. I'm not great at social media. I am part of the Facebook group for the FSH Society, and I, you know, my wife reads much more on that than I do. Absolutely, you know, you can contact us on AnsonCalder.com is the website. We've got an about us story there. We've got a profile piece that we just had a great team put together for us that talks a little bit about the story and what we're doing. And yeah, definitely stay tuned. We've got a newsletter and we're you know, in constant communication with the FSH Society to figure out what it is that we can do to help raise awareness, to get the word out, because, you know, it takes money to grow, and we know that, so we're trying to donate and do what we can and hopefully, you know, help others do the same so that we can, you know, really help make an impact.
Absolutely. Thank you, Curtis, for being here, and I'd love to have you on again in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much, Tim, and thank you for doing the show and everything you're doing to really do the same and help raise awareness and get the word out. And yeah, I'm happy to help in any way I can.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Curtis.
All right. Thanks, Tim. Bye.
So that's Curtis Calder. Now, if you're not inspired by that story, man, that's fantastic. And that's what I love. I love bringing these people on, meeting these people, and hearing what they've done with a diagnosis and kind of turned it around and went, I'm not going to let negativity rule this. I'm going to get inspired and move forward and follow my passion. Why don't we take our last break? When we come back, we'll bring in Beth to give us a little bit of FSH Society news and notes. Maybe she'll tease her own guest appearance on the next episode as well. This is the FSH Society radio show.
FSHD is one of the most common forms of muscular dystrophy. It's a degenerative disease that weakens muscles in the face, shoulders, upper back, and legs. FSHD robs you of your smile and makes simple tasks nearly impossible to perform. FSHD affects hundreds of thousands of people, but most have never met another patient. Many have not even been diagnosed. Someone you know may be living with FSHD. Let them know they are not alone and that we're making real advances toward a treatment. You can help by going to our website, fshsociety.org/curefshd, and share the photos and facts about the disease using the hashtag CureFSHD. By simply raising awareness, you could change someone's life and help us get closer to a cure.
Welcome back to FSH Society Radio Show. Thanks for being here. We just had a great conversation with our featured guest, Curtis Calder. Go ahead and visit AnsonCalder.com. Yeah, the FSH Orange Wallet is kind of cool. I think I'm all over that. I think I'm totally grabbing one of those. Some good gifts there to give to, like you mentioned, customers getting it for wedding gifts. Christmas is a ways off, and we missed Father's Day. But hey, Anson Calder isn't going anywhere, so I want you to go on the website. Let's buy. Let's also donate maybe through there. Let's get the word out. Speaking of getting the word out, we got Beth on hold. Beth Johnson of the FSH Society. She's going to come on here and give us a little bit of some news and notes and what's going on in the world out there of the FSH Society. Beth, are you there?
I am here, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Do I sound like I'm in a wind tunnel?
Yeah, I was like, what's going on over there? You guys all right?
Sorry, it's a little noisy where I am. I'm sorry. I apologize in advance. But hopefully you'll be able to hear most of what I have to say.
Oh, no.
And I've got
to vouch
for that
in.
Anson yeah. Calder wallet. I own a wallet.
Right.
My husband owns a wallet. And just recently, my 16-year-old asked for one for her birthday. So they are the most amazing wallets, and once you wear them in and you get them to fit all the credit cards that you have smashed in
right.
there, it's the perfect wallet to carry. So I just put in a shameless plug for Anson Calder for sure.
Don't, it's not shameless. I mean, that's just truth. That's good.
And I'm waiting on my first phone case. They just started producing phone cases for the iPhone. So
really?
I ordered one of those as well. So we'll see.
Yeah, you'll have to come back and tell us how that works and plug that as well. So what is the good word with the FSH Society? Some good things to share with us today.
So what has been so amazing is we are just back from our huge Patient Connect conference that happened June 9th and 10th in Las Vegas. It was absolutely one of the most attended conferences ever, with 255 patients and their families, and the most attended ever with researchers and clinicians and biotechs. There was about 150 of those there. And by far, we maxed it out. We were squeezing at the seams there. And it was so exciting, so promising. The research that is on its way to clinical trials is insane. I'm just so excited for everyone living with this, because it's the most exciting time ever. And again, I apologize for the noise. I'm actually outside and there's like a train going by, but
that's okay.
But if anyone wants to review any of the sessions that were had there, the general sessions, they were all recorded, and lovely June painstakingly edited them and posted them all on our YouTube channel. So if you're interested in any of the general sessions that happened at the conference, please visit our YouTube channel, because there's so much there that, I mean, it will take you 2 days to listen to them all, but there's some really good stuff out there.
Yeah, that sounds really cool, because I know they put the little video I made of that I did for the radio show. I'm stumbling over my own words.
Oh my gosh.
And,
that was so awesome.
And,
everyone loved it, Kim.
Oh gosh. Well, that was just a little thing. I wish I could have been there. It was kind of tough that I couldn't be. And even the day of, I was like, it'd be so cool to be in Vegas. It's fine. But at least I could give that.
Well,
I
you
wanted
were
to give
there.
Something. Yeah,
you were
I,
there,
I suppose.
And your head was as big as a one story large, and everyone was looking at you. And so, yeah, you absolutely were there in spirit, and your voice and your face were there too. So it was great.
Oh, goodness.
Thanks for doing that,
goodness.
By the way.
Yeah, and great for thank you for saying I have a big head. My friends and I will never let that one go. So they're going to say, I heard your show, and Beth is spot on. Yeah. So,
yeah, you got a one story head. Yeah.
Well, that's
but
cool
there
there's a lot of those things on there. That's great.
Yes, it is. And one of the biggest things, at least in my storybook, is that we launched our official chapter program that Kirk kind of alerted to a little bit. Our goal with this chapter program is to build what we're calling an army of activists all around the country to make sure we're really pushing us forward faster towards a treatment and a cure. And the only way we're going to do that is to get that army going out there around the country and around the world, really. We've even got some folks in Canada, folks in Germany, folks in Africa that are all wanting to build their own little FSH societies. So we hope to bring the society closer to the folks that need it. And that's the way we're going to do it, is with this chapter program. So we're really excited about that. We do have a page on our website if you want to learn more about it. It's under the Get Involved tab on our website. So that way we can, folks can learn about the chapter program. And if they want to, they can sign up to host a chapter in their area. That's my most exciting thing. And we'll be talking about that next month. My mentor, Lee Reynolds, and I will be exploring all about the chapter program a little bit more, talking about our nationally branded fundraiser called the Walk and Roll that pretty much it's a fundraiser in a box that anyone can do. And we'll really talk about that a lot more on your show next month. I think it's the 25th of July.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yeah. Yeah. We're going to have you and Leon
and
we're going to talk about all those things. Yeah. I think that's going to be a fantastic episode. I'm hoping to get a lot of people involved in that as in listeners and chat rooming in. So I want to plug the heck out of that one and make sure all those that, listen and follow the show, spread the word to those that maybe haven't heard of us quite yet and get involved, especially on that episode, because I think it's going to have a lot of great information that's going to impact, near their neighborhoods and kind of reach right out to them. So I think that's going to be really important. I'm glad you guys have the time to come on and spread the word. Yeah, that's going to be great.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks. Yeah, thanks for inviting us. We're excited to share the word, baby. So real quick, Tim, let me just talk about some things that are coming up in June and July and maybe early August. June 30th, the Chicago folks, there's a member meeting there in Schaumburg, Illinois on June the 30th. Sorry, there's another train going by.
That's right. We hear you.
And then on July 14th, yeah, okay, good. July 14th, I'm going to be in New York City in downtown. Our good friend the Gunthers are hosting a member meeting downtown Manhattan on July the 14th. So myself and Mark Stone will be there. If anyone around can attend, we'd love to see you. We've got a lot to share there. And then on August the 1st, Catherine Wagner, those that you know and love her, she's a clinician out in the Baltimore area. She's hosting a webinar, and those are always super interesting. You got to register in advance for that. And all these events you can find on our website under the Get Involved tab again under events. There's a calendar of events there. You can click on her webinar and then register to see it, and we'll send you all the information how to log in for it. So got a lot of junk coming up here, Tim. It's a very exciting time in FSH world.
Yeah, I'm glad you could spread a lot of this information around and make sure people are aware of what's going on. Yeah, of course, you can see all this out there on fshsociety.org. I think next episode, too, it's going to be a lot of fun. Thanks for being on here, Beth, and giving us the news.
Well, thanks for having me. Yeah,
anytime.
Tim, you're doing such a fantastic job, and we so appreciate everything you do for us, and we just love you, man.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I love doing it, and I'm glad I can. Kind of similar to our, well, to yourself and as well as Curtis, kind of bringing the things you're passionate about and, you know, trying to make an impact at the same time. I figured I love doing this anyhow. Why not do it for this? I mean, just makes sense. So this is great. Thank you.
It's absolutely amazing. And thank you. So anything else, any questions or it's.
No, I'm going to save them all for next
episode.
There on
the East Coast. Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah. So no, we're doing great. We'll have you on next show, and we'll talk to you then.
Sounds good, Tim. Thanks again for having me.
Yeah, anytime. Okay, that's Beth Johnson giving us news notes. What's going on in the FSH Society world out there? You know, it's been a fun episode. I've really enjoyed talking to our featured guest today. Kurt Calder was just, you know, I just like people that are doing big impacts in their life, get some bad news and try to turn that around and do something positive with it. Very inspirational. So if you want to follow the show, you can do that at fshsociety.org or on Twitter at fshsociety or on Facebook as well. You can email me now after the show anytime. I'm here for you. fshradiohost@gmail.com gets directly to me. Jot this number down for the next episode, 949-270-5953. Put that in your phones. You're going to dial up next month because we're going to have Beth Johnston and Lee Reynolds in talking about these chapter programs, other things going big in the FSH Society. We want to spread the word. Want to know more about the walk and roll that Beth mentioned? That's on the fshsociety.org if you want to get involved with that. If you're going to attend one of the meetings, I know the June 30th Chicago meeting's there. Shout out to our friend Dave Lucas, who is on a past show, and I want to go visit him in Schaumburg. It's an awesome time, great meeting that he runs there. I've been to one. I don't think I can make this one. I'm disappointed, but I'll get him at the next. So go on my behalf to Schaumburg and go to the Chicago meeting on June 30th. That's it for me, guys. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being a part of the show. We'll see you next time. You've been listening to the FSH Society Radio Show.